Blog Talk Radio.
National Beat Poetry Anthology virtual book launch, or at least part one of it. We decided earlier today that we're going to be splitting this into two parts because we had so many poets send in good recordings for you that we really just can't fit it into one episode. I'm James P. Wagner, a publisher for Local Gems Press, which is the official publisher of the National Beat Poetry Foundation, and I also have the distinct honor of being the Beat Poet Laureate for the United States this year. So very grateful for that and very grateful for all of you listening. Like I said, we have a lot of good readers lined up for you tonight. So many, like I said, we had 120 plus people in the anthology this year, which normally would have been out for the live event of the Beat Poetry Festival, but obviously this is not a regular year, so it was a few weeks delayed, but we're here now, and luckily with geography not being a huge cumbersome issue, we could hear readings from all over the place. At least a third of that number, 120, at least a third of that have sent in recordings, which is why this is so big. So the way this is going to work tonight, we're going to just play the recordings from the people in the anthology, and at several points, we're actually also going to be having an online raffle draw. For those of you who have, purchased pre-order or seen the pre-order page, you've seen that we are offering five different poetry books for possible inclusion in the raffle. Basically, how it's going to work is when we call... We're going to put the names into randomizers. The raffles have already been purchased. And then when we pick the name, you can tell us which of those five books that you want. And if you're not listening live, that's okay, because we're going to get in contact with you anyway. And one of the benefits of the fact that we're actually splitting this into two means that we're going to be calling double the raffle numbers, because tonight we're going to be drawing about three or four. And then when we do part two, which right now looks like it's going to be next Friday night, we're going to be drawing another several numbers there. Looks like Nick Hale just joined us. Welcome, Nick.
Hey, how's it going? Sorry, there's a lot of traffic between Zoom and Blog Talk Radio, so it took me a while to get here. There was an accident.
Yeah, I hear that. See, one of the benefits of the virtual world is there's so many options, but one of the downsides of the virtual world is there's only so many hours and minutes and seconds in a day, so we can't possibly attend all of them.
Also, you don't have as many excuses for being late.
That's true. So we're going to get right into it, and it just seems appropriate that the first reader that we're going to be playing for the evening is the co-founder of the National Beat Poetry Foundation, Debbie Kilday. So let's give it up for her.
I must admit, I am beaten down by experience, smashed to bits, ground down by pestle and mortar, made into a chalky paste like pesto without the pine. An empty cone of intricate webs, a cocoon turned to stone. There is no escape, only hope that the layers that peel off my parchment do not take me down Kerouac Lane, left to howl at a generation beaten down and poor, but made renewed, sympathetic, pure, as was intended. A new generation, forged from stones but crushed into clay, made pliable, ready for change, sculpted from ashes, rising up in waves, renewed by waters, a jazzy ensemble pounding to the beat. I'm Debbie Tosin Kilday. Thanks.
Thank you, Debbie, for your poem, and also thank you for all the hard work you do every year for the National Beat Poetry Foundation for encouraging poetry and beat poets really across the globe. So thank you for that. So the next reader that we have lined up is another Kilday, Michael Kilday, possibly the husband of the Debbie Kilday.
A Tale Told by an Idiot, Reprise. Bring chapter 3 to a close. brings Moses to mind as he stood on the slopes of Sinai with the tablet of the Ten Commandments raised over his head, ready to hurl them into the golden calf fashioned by his brother Aaron. Did he think, why has it come to this? Will it end our journey to the promised land? Worshipping idols yields two generations lost, with 40 years of wandering in the desert of Saul, brought on by the selfish desire for momentary bliss. Two generations must pass before the harvest of souls. The Exodus analogy springs to mind of the Woodstock generation, has the same fate befallen them. At the 50th anniversary of the gathering of the tribes, can we get back to the garden, or is that path closed? Only time will tell. But know one thing for certain. As long as we live by the credo, money talks, and bullshit walks, nothing will ever be right with the world again.
Thank you, Mike. Next reader we have for you from Ohio. Debbie and her husband are from Connecticut, so... Granted, I don't know where everybody is on this list tonight, but I do know some of them, and now we're taking a journey to Ohio for Sandra Feen.
I'm Sandra Feen. Two women, a moment. An American woman writes in a journal on a wooden cabin floor in the city of Chichibu. Mount Buko encloses her sitting barefoot, braless, her plaid sundress fading, colors of corn, wildflowers, rice, encloses a train breathing hot down its tracks, a rooster's abruptness, a stray calico's whine, and Moteki, who peers above and past her stone wall into her new neighbor's long kitchen window. She finds eyes that stare from under a straw hat, drops pad and pen, walks outside to a pink washer to finish laundry by gray that separates them. Moteki smiles one tooth, bows, lifts straw to wipe her forehead with a flowered handkerchief, begins clearing clothesline. The two women continue their ritual of cleaning, folding. Then American drops dirty jeans, walks around stone wall, stands next to her. Moteki steps closer, her thumb and index lift strand of other's hair, says, ah, yellow gold. She lifts Moteki's brim, touches her bangs, responds, ah, lovely black.
Thank you, Sandy. So we're off to a really good start here. We've had lots of good poetry in a row. I mean, pretty much everything in this anthology is good, but like Nick always says, it's one thing reading it on the page.
Yeah, exactly. I'm fortunate enough that I'm experiencing this completely for the first time because, you know, I haven't read through them. But it's always a better experience or a different experience when you actually hear it read, especially when it's read by the person who wrote it, and you kind of get the inflections that were intended and all that.
Yeah, definitely, because sometimes I've noticed a lot myself that sometimes, like, you know, being editor, I'll read the poems and I will, the voice in my mind, I will kind of read them to myself a different way, and then when I see the poet doing it, it's like, okay, they put emphasis on that rather than that, so it is always a unique experience seeing both. So back around on our journey all over, we're coming to Long Island for a poet local to my area, Jack Zaphos.
Waves by Jack Zaphos. The seawater crashes into those wounded places, one after another. Each one surprising me, slapping my belly, hitting the places of sorrow. filling up caverns of despondency with water, kissed by the moonlight. Those caverns of unworthiness where I am shut out from kisses of love. The waves batter with intention to loosen the lenses that distort the moonlight. They pound on my abdomen, driving me backward, and then an undertow carries me forward into someone's arms. And I realize I am the provider of a longed-for kiss.
Thank you, Jack. So, you know, that's one of the things I love about, you know, this particular anthology is just the, you know, the diverse geography of all the poets that you get in it, because, you know, we do so many regional anthologies that are, you know, local to one given area, but this anthology, the Beat anthology, every year you get people from all over the world, so, you know, that's always really exciting to me.
Yeah, that's, I think, one of my favorite things about it, too, is it spans such a broad range, not just of, like, types of poets and styles, but also, like you said, geography.
Yeah, definitely. So, and then our next reader is somebody, speaking of geography, who we've encountered in multiple states for various anthology launches because he moved and he also likes to travel. He came up to Long Island for the Whitman Convention. He was originally from your area in Northern Virginia, and now he lives and does poetry in Delaware. So we've seen him in at least three states, and I keep saying we need to get that, you know, like some kind of a pin or a medal for poets who have been to book launches with us in three states, like a, you know, like a Triumva pin or something. So,
yeah, you know, it's funny. Before you said that he moved, it didn't really narrow it down enough for me to know exactly who you were talking about, because there were a couple of people it could have been.
I know. It's funny. See, and that's the way people, if you're listening to getting the more poetry anthologies, is move a lot, because if they have regional anthologies, you know, one, and then he could be in that one, you know. I mean, I know a guy who was a poet laureate up here in New York, and he moved to Florida, and they made him poet laureate down there, too, so... You know, it works multiple ways. But let's give it up for the one and only Robert Fleming.
Beat Generation Anthology. Robert Fleming, writer from Lewis, Delaware, United States. Home, Delaware Beat. A drum was a place, or a prison cell, or a road. A drum beats the Delaware beat. Claim your drumsticks. Beat your way into the first state. Enter the Delaware beat north to south. New Jersey turnpiking. 16-note groove your weak fish fins under the Delaware River. Cymbal crash your will to live in Wilmington. That's the Delaware beat. Enter the Delaware beat, south to north, crawling on a Maryland crab. 12/8 groove your blues to a blue hen laying blue eggs. Snare drum Delmarva, your drag queen's heel, 6 inches. That's the Delaware beat. Enter the Delaware beat, east to west. Pennsylvania percussion in. Motown groove through Mechanicsville. Stool stand in. Tap your toms on the 684 wedge acre track. That's the Delaware beat. Enter the Delaware beat west to east. Groove to the Atlantic shores. Standard 8th note groove. Your swim with fish spots. To the bikini store. Chimes chirping, your shore landing of a northern gannet. That's the Delaware beat. Enter the Delaware beat up to down, falling on a tambourine. Halftime groove your red feathers rushing on a northern cardinal. Beat between on tempo and dragging. On a gray morning dove. That's the Delaware beat. enter the Delaware beat down to up, from the subsoil to the topsoil. Disco groove your brown tubulars on an earthworm. Double time swing spring up from a groundhog burrow. That's the Delaware beat. You're in Delaware. Beat your Delaware beat. Chart route one. Notes north to south and sound south to north. Bass drum your pedal four to the floor. That's the Delaware beat. You're in Delaware. Beat your Delaware beat. A hit flattens your tire on the flats of Fenwick Island. Two bars for free on Route 404 to west and west to east. That's the Delaware beat. You're in Delaware. Beat your Delaware beat. Stick your beat down to silence in Sussex County. Feet soul stomping on the Rehoboth Boardwalk. That's the Delaware beat. You're in Delaware. Beat your Delaware beat. Stick your beat to whiplash in Kent County. Horse hooves earning their part, galloping Dover Downs. That's the Delaware beat. You're in Delaware, beat your Delaware beat. Stick your beat up to thunder in Newcastle County. A bat beaten a Blue Rocks ball at the Frawley Stadium. That's the Delaware beat. You're in Delaware, beat your Delaware beat. Sticks beaten the U-curve between your thumb and index finger. Band-aid your U-curve skin cuts and ice fist your wrist. That's the Delaware beat. You're living in Delaware. Beat your Delaware beat. Pick up your drumsticks. Live where your wind pitches your beat. That's your Delaware beat.
Thank you, Robert. And I think he used repetition in that poem so well that I'm going to be going through my day for the next couple of days and be thinking that's the Delaware beat.
Yeah, it's going to get stuck in your head. Now I have the advantage of having heard that poem before because I believe you brought it to one of my workshops. So I kind of wish I had a copy of the version that Robert brought to the workshop with me so I could see what has changed since he brought it, but unfortunately I don't.
All right, if you're listening now, I think that time we're going to call the first raffle winner. So the way it works is, you know, everybody, this is an online raffle, so I don't have the basket with the tickets in front of me, and I don't get to do my impression of an auctioneer. I mean, I guess I could still do that, but you know, we did have the raffle, the people who purchased the raffles, we took their names and we entered them into a randomizer, and it's one of those cool randomizers, so we could put in, like, you know, for how many tickets they got, we could put in the number of times to be in it. So it's totally random, so we're going to put that in there right now. Let's see if I can still do my impression of an auctioneer going, you know, doing it virtually. Okay, coming down, going down.
I'm coming down,
okay, here it goes, it's going, swirling around, here we go, okay. And the winner of the first raffle drawing is Alex Edward Boudreau. So that's a poet from Long Island and somebody who's been on Art Poetry Revolution quite a few times. So, Alex, if you're listening, just shoot me a message and tell me which of those books that are on the page that you would like to be included. And if you're not listening, then don't worry, we'll message you later and you'll get to pick one of those books. And for those listening, if you haven't actually gotten any of the raffle tickets yet or, you know, done your purchase for the pre-orders, if you buy one with the raffle option, you can win any of those books that are on the pre-order page that we're putting up for the raffle. And just to give you a refresher of what those books are, it's the Beats, the anthology of the National and International Beats Laureate from a few years ago. That was the first anthology that Local Gems did for the Beat Poetry Foundation. You could also win Goddess Anthology, which we just did, which was celebrating Women's Month. You could win the 100 Poetry Prompt book that we actually just released a few months ago for the 15-day Poetry Chapbook Challenge. You could win the Bards Against Hunger 5th Anniversary Edition, which also, like the Beat Anthologies every year, has poets from all over the globe. Or you could win the Mondo Poetry Anthology and Workshop Guide about the virtual workshop that we did with the collaborative poetry early on during the COVID situation. So if you are, your name is drawn, you can pick any one of those five books to go out to you, and it's going to be shipped to you with your pre-order purchase. So that's just to narrow down what the rules are for that. So we're going to call at least two more during the reading tonight. But now let's resume the reading. And next up, we have, we're taking a trip over to Wisconsin to listen to Christina Norcross.
Hi, my name is Christina Norcross, and I'm one of the contributors for the Beat Generation Anthology published by Local Gems Press. Delighted to be here for this wonderful virtual book launch. I'll be reading my poem, Closing Time. Closing time. Last call for drinks. Last game of darts. Words hang in the air, commingling with smoke and the slowing down of time. No muscles move to leave this space. Shoulder to shoulder in the booth, we are both liquid and bone. An energy current binds us. Tiny explosive connections. Lightning speed thought. A ping-pong ball of ideas bounces across the room. The corner table mirror reflects our eager eyes in return. We see our own faces, shocked by the familiar. Is there anything new we could possibly say? Tonight was a tornado of words. It's closing time now. Our hands can't even hold pens. Every last coin of thought has been spent. In writing circles and lecture halls, we weave and reweave tomorrow's world in our heads. But for now, it's closing time. Thank you so much for having me on the program.
And thank you, Christina, for being a frequent contributor to Local Gems Anthologies and having been on Bard's Poetry Revolution quite a few times at this point. So the next couple of poets we have are from New Jersey. Give it up for Mega Sood.
The burden we are passing on. Love arises out of acceptance. In a land made of broken bones, which rattles and hums, a lullaby in the soft light of the moon. Dig deep in the dirt with your dirty ankles. You can find the souls buried under your sidewalks. Standing knee-deep in the river of blood, leaving footprint everywhere you go, such is the legacy we are leaving behind. There is an absence of the melody, the wind reeking of the hunger. Lone tune of the Pied Piper is ruling the day, trying to proselytize the truth. We are losing our kids to this damn sea, I say. Not a light or sparkle in those ashen eyes. Robbed of the dreams as the sparrows, losing shadows to the evening sun. The darkness plays in its bounty, and hunger prevails. This town left as a grieving metaphor, for the catacombs no longer hold the life in its broken lap. Fingers bloodied with the blood of the sacrificed newborns, the ones you have masticated the life from the bony shoulder, carrying the burden of generations to come.
Thank you, Mega. Also from New Jersey, give it up for Lynette Esposito.
Hello, this is Lynette Esposito from Mount Laurel, New Jersey. I'm going to read Bad Boys in the 60s. In the day when cigarettes were cool, he blew circles around anyone who came near, including me. Captured, a person's thinking is altered. He seemed a king in leather, large hands and arms. But when he put his cig down, the misty ghost sank into vapid air. Like Rocky Marciano, he raised his fist, the one he called Susie Q. all hell broke loose. I ran.
Thank you, Lynette. Now we're heading up a little bit north to Massachusetts for Linda, hope I pronounce this right, Linda Lodica. I historically always get at least one wrong every reading, so if it's you, well, then I should get a pin for you, too. So let's hear it for Linda.
Hello, this is Linda Bratcher-Waldica with a poem, Act One, which will be published in the Beat Generation Anthology. Act One. It was not the synchronicity that seemed more than pretentious. It was how idiosyncratic the efforts to imitate were made obvious. No synecdoche was ever revealed or stated. Let those who occupy the stage state their claim. Two simultaneous events were displayed, one in real time, one a voiceover, likened to a novel's opening prologue, yet a protagonist gets praised via an epilogue. Certainly there must be a more succinct issue at hand than the aforementioned. As a matter of fact, no one dared question the writer's poetic license. Was it the obscurity and deft intention of said performance being suspect to the meddlings of a shunned actor, a disgruntled patron, or a mad apparition? Whatever the gross error may be, the results are in. Surrealism is an empathetic art.
Thank you, Linda. And I did mostly get the last name right, but I made a mistake by not putting in the middle name, which, as somebody who always puts the P in all of my publications for my middle initial, I should be raked over the coals for that. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're not as picky as some people are, but still, you would expect if you're using that. I really enjoyed that set of poems. A lot of the stuff that I've read coming out of New Jersey, I've really enjoyed, but those three in particular were really nice, especially back-to-back.
Yeah, well, two of them were from New Jersey, one, the last one, Linda's from Massachusetts. So.
That's right. I was paying attention.
Well, that's okay. At least you know definitely where the next one is from, because the next one is Robert Savino, who is the current Bard Laureate and was the Poet Laureate for Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. So let's give it up for
Robert. I love California poets.
This is going to be a running theme, I'm guessing.
This is Robert Savino, and for the Beat Anthology, I will read Animal Spirit. St. Francis was patron saint to the animals. He would preach to the birds. He tamed the fierce wolf of Gubbio. He believed all animals to be creatures of God, as are we. In my younger days, I was a friend to the animals. I knew them only as pets, ignorance of their significance, the inherent spirituality of the frog, the good fortune and longevity of the turtle, the caiman, symbol of emotional depth and self-awareness. And there was a dog that roamed my own neighborhood, stopping every day at the corner of our home. One day I called out to it, Dotto. And it showed me pointed teeth protruding from a ferocious face. Dotto was the name given to my great-grandfather, who had no teeth but many angry hand gestures. As days passed, the dog became calm, sat next to me, but not any other, until the day it failed to return. I sat at the curb waiting, wondering if it was ready, and crossed over the Rainbow Bridge. Most beings will never make the connection, even as they wander in herds, often lost in the wilderness with a mind of an old burrow. No matter who or what you are, when the soul departs its temporary shell, No one knows its recycled destination. I hear a dog bark today and ponder the mystery of time, its purpose, its measurement. Dreams dissolve in shaken uncertainty. Wonder what remains when the animals are gone. Wonder what remains at the end for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. So this we arrive at a poet. Finally, I actually don't know where they're from geographically, but I do know that they're an editor and a publisher. So let's give it up for Dave Roskus.
Hey, folks. Dave Roskus here. This is called Cadillacs and Lincoln Continentals. December in New Jersey. Waiting for Monty and Risa outside the probation department in downtown Toms River. How I managed to never wind up on probation or in prison is beyond me. My whole life was a crime, one felony after another. Somehow, I never got caught with more than a few joints. Just lucky, I guess. We're blessed. I have a close friend in jail right now. He calls me on the phone. Jail noise clamoring in the background, the connection always bad and full of static. It is a phone call from hell. Some sorry-looking characters walking in and out of probation, lots of ink, sleeved arms, tattooed necks. I obey the law not out of respect for the law, but because I don't want to end up here, or worse yet, across the street in Ocean County Jail. I used to visit my dad in Ocean County Jail. He seemed to wind up there a lot, usually for stealing cars. He only stole Cadillacs and Lincoln Continentals. He would drive them around for a week or so like it was his car, park them right in the front yard.
Thank you, Dave. So now we're journeying back to Wisconsin, so let's give it up for Catfish McDarris.
Black horse. Anyone can be gat. Look in the good book, and the four horsemen of the apocalypso, pestilence, war, famine, and death, flying scorpions, nightingales, the lady vacuumed the fireflies from the sky. There are no roses without bloody thorns. He reached out and broke off a chunk of banana moon. It tasted rather bizarre. Tickling the guitar strings, laughter can be heard through the adobe. Village. Coyotes and senoritas did the St. Vitus dance, until the apricot pumpkin stars turned into the clouds of terracotta. That's by Catfish McDurr. Thank you.
I really love the imagery in that one.
Yeah, me too. And I really liked the flow of the reading on that. So thank you, Catfish. Next, we're coming back to Long Island. For Christina Rao, who is, I believe, the current Poet of the Year for the Walt Whitman Birthplace Historical Society.
Locked In by Christina M. Rao. I miss museums and public art, sibling adventures with my brother as tour guide, day tripping on a theme. I miss getting on the train, book in hand, the long walk block after block to whatever destination. I miss driving to a coffee shop, sitting in the back, and listening. I miss live music. I miss diner food. I miss hugging my mom and fixing her phone and showing her how to use the remote again. I miss the classrooms, writing on a whiteboard, walking between desks, marking papers in green pen. I miss trivia night. I miss board games. I miss having folks over for a costume murder mystery and for a bagel brunch. I miss reading at a podium, clapping in an audience, mingling and walking out to the car before the meter runs out. I miss pumping my own gas, the power of filling up and being able to go, really go, switching radio stations all along the way.
Thank you, Christina. I feel like there may be one or two people listening who could relate to some of that, possibly.
Yeah. Especially if you're driving through a place where you can't pump your own gas.
Yeah, definitely. So, next up, Evelyn Katz.
I'm Evelyn Katz, and this poem is First Kiss. Under thickening molasses sky, you, the stoic road rage driver, cut me off, and like a cat who mistakes the sweet smell of antifreeze for maple syrup, I lap up the sweet venom of your brown sugar, buttery lips, rattling my shocks, leaving puddles of hydroelectric currents, rendering my road impassable. And yours, just another rumble shift to alert you. You drifted once again from your lane on the dead end road to home.
Thank you, Evelyn. So I think it's about time to draw the second raffle winner. So let's get that in the automatic raffler over here. Okay, folks, if you have raffles, now's the time to listen. Calling raffle winner number two. All right, coming down, narrowing it down. It's coming down there, it's going down there. I don't have any actual number in front of me. I'm just seeing names flip around. Okay, second winner is Ron Whitehead. So congratulations, Ron, if you're listening. Just shoot a message or an email over. Tell us which of the books that we mentioned in the raffle item on the pre-order page that you want. If not, then if you're not listening live, that's okay. A lot of people like to listen in recording. Don't worry, you'll get a message, and you can tell us then which book you want. We're going to call one more raffle winner at the end of the reading when we still have a bunch of people to get through. And if you want to participate in the online raffle and you haven't actually done your pre-orders yet, you actually can. One of the benefits now of us having two parts of this launch is this whole week you could buy raffle tickets. You could buy the options of the pre-orders with the raffle tickets so that you could be in the drawing for next Friday night's part two of the Beat Generation book launch. So getting back to the readings. Next up, we have Juan Perez.
Fahrenheit 162, A Pyromaniac Rhapsody by Juan Perez, a partial tom poem. Why did the cocolorum cross the street? Morning, early summer, woke to a burnt sky, sun biblically dim, a dense plume drifted, made plans to visit beach, smoke or no smoke. Because fires need more than words to quell. Gangs of kids shove one another off boards, playing lazy games of Corona hands, dogs lay down on towels slathered in sunscreen. Why did Cocolorum cross the street? An hour later, coated in fine ash into the ocean to wash it all off back to a shore of possibilities. Because fires need more than words to quell, smoke descended to earth, world looked dingy. Smoke traveled far among the places on earth, abnormal, instant, and unfortunate. Why did the cocolorum cross the street? Teach students the industry of planting. Occupation decimated mostly. Multinational cutting is complete because fires need more than words to quell. Cut down theory in its place anyway, making millions much more complicated, pay for college environmentally. Why did the cocolorum cross the street? Just like thousands have done so for decades, delivering dirty things into earth, physical work over time taught me this. Because fires need more than words to quell. About those limits of biology, ended every feeling filled with oil, right hand turned into a black swollen claw, Why did the Cocolorum cross the street? Dirt on the lips, under every pore, the glories and torments are still common. Conversations during those years ripped through, because fires need more than words to quell. Something left behind, burned, stripped, curled over, 1,000 crisps, scorched, sometimes gone, reduced, a deep new quiet at the end of days. Why did the Cocolorum cross the street? Emerging, covered head to toe in soot. About the calamitous disaster, every devastation contains rebirth, because fires need more than words to quell. Naturally, fire is a timeless part. In the years after, spring is crazy green, tender growth brings and thus scatters their seeds. Why did the Cocolorum cross the street? Practical evolution legacy, a strong natural cycle, a burn clear out, deadfall without touching the canopy. Because fires need more than words to quell, accelerating by change in the wild. It is different kind of force possessed, sequestered summer, waiting for a match. Why did the Cocolorum cross the street? Middle of the state of emergency, fires burning, smoke fueling upward, now coolness hangs in the air as if rain. Because fires need more than words to quell. The sun struggled to shine in this brown cloak, abandoned like a chain smoker jogging, warned to remain indoors with windows closed. Why did the Cocolorum cross the street? Unrestrained in the winter affliction, fever for relief, dog in the ocean, the evening sunsets nearby catch fire. Because fires need more than words to quell. It was allowed to burn unabated. Rumors set the fire by accident, then fled past the scene without bothering. Why did the Cocolorum cross the street? Vigilance is all taboo. Toss your chain. A spark from a brittle valley ablaze, angry beneath a version of sadness, because fires need more than words to quell. Articulate rain, forest on fire. What an irony in a warming world. Catastrophically screaming down hillsides. Why did the Cocolorum cross the street? Devour an entire landscape while escaping through highway infernos, looking raised by a squadron of dragons. Because fires need more than words to quell. We are our choices, remarkably said. Action that means something so far away, blooming with flavor naturally red hot. Why did the Cocolorum cross the street? Feeling swell like human flesh on fire, living off the energy of the sun, scorching and flawlessly walking about. Because fires need more than words to quell, staying up, away from Mother Ginger. Know your role and duty to thus reflect. We are mankind, lacking kindness to all. Why did the Cocolorum cross the street? Because fire need more than words to quell.
Thank you, Juan. And I should have mentioned at the beginning that that was a trip to Texas. Juan is actually the Poet Laureate of Corpus Christi currently. So thank you for that, Juan. Next up, Cheryl Slocum.
Flappers dancing. A jumble of acute angles, jangles, kaleidoscopic, bright chipped bits, sliding, weaving, wobbling, then jerking and jumping. Heels fly, knees jab, elbows poke. The music snags on a chord. Chaos resolves into pattern. Look fast. The music tangles again. Swinging hips, swanking shoulders, twining bodies. Grandma and grandpa in flashing dabs of black and white leap into dance anytime I turn out the light.
Thank you, Cheryl. Next up on the list, Igor Pop Trekov.
The Poorly Visible Path, poem by Igor Pop Trekov. He was walking the barely visible lane where by sharp surrounding branches his clothes were torn. heading towards a medieval monastery, for in these Middle Ages he feels like living, while the thunder lights up and echoes. In sinister shade, before the background of dreary clouds, is now for him that castle and the time for fasting. The pursuit for higher existence in some spiritual being made him forget he walks torment in torn slippers. So the laid-back monastery is the main reason it never bothers him to be there, while he exalts, although he lost everything. Thus, the monastery becomes palace of the perished, when the hungry and the rejected are helped with strict discipline through cosmic light.
Thank you, Igor, and that was a trip to northern Macedonia. So we've really been all over the place tonight on this reading. And there will be more to come. Next up on the list, so we're back to Long Island, Alex Edward Boudreau.
When You Wake Up by Alex Edwards Boudreau. When you wake up, are your dreams erased like mine? Echoes of lament turn to ash around the embers of pain that die to dull shadows of the life they burned. When you wake up, are you befuddled like me, wondering where the roiling went, and if the sediment of the new day meant today you'd finally settle the score? When you wake up, does your heart feel hard like mine, far from the scorching volcanic flow of searing desire that dried and choked you to a fossil of what you're meant to be? When you wake up, do you read the news like me, your fading hope colored by your rage to buttress the ramparts of desperation you fear might crush the dregs of your spirit? When you wake up, do you glimpse the sky like me, endlessly bright among the clouds, languid and leering at the naked desecration wrought on the anvil of your vanity? When you wake up, do you pretend to care like me, hoping to find in the rubble some gem for the crown of your illusion of dominion you must rebuild from the destruction of your dreams? When you wake up, do you embrace the escape like me, in molds of soft somnolence, the dreams of the day, emptied of all that lit your life in the night? Or do you long for sleep where fire is free to play?
Thank you, Alex. Now we're going to be hopping from Long Island down to Northern Virginia. Give it up for another frequent reader on Bard's Poetry Revolution, Brian Donnell James.
Good evening. My name is Brian Donnell James, and I would like to share my poem Dream Number 7 as a part of the Beat Generation Anthology. Dream Number 7. How can I walk in dreams and feel the warmth of the sun on black skin? How can I feel the wind gather in my lungs and within my bones? And I am running in this wind, chasing the sound of your voice through the landscapes of my mind. Say my name tenderly again. I want to carry you with me. We two here in a dream. We are one. We are kindred. To where my actions become your consequence and your pain becomes my penance. Let me absorb your wounds and hurt. Let me give you absolution. Let me decipher your unhappiness emotionally, lovingly, in those fleeting moments of a dream. Say my name sweetly again. I want to carry you with me. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian, for giving us another great recitation of your poetry. Brian Donald James was actually one of the prize winners this year in the NaPoRiMo 30 Poems in 30 Day contest, so we'll be seeing that collection coming out soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. I mean, every time I hear him read, it's really nice. Yeah, I always look forward to that.
Next up, give it up for Melissa Seymour.
Expand and Rise, written by Melissa Seymour. Unfulfilled dreams still wriggle inside of you, like a cut worm thrashing around, still half alive, just waiting to regenerate. It doesn't matter how raw or how much damage, because whether marauded by monotony or trampled by trauma, the means that harmed don't matter. The result remains constant. You will never be whole until inch by inch you twist and turn back towards synchronicity. Fully knowing, in great simple terms, to be fulfilled, you must grow.
Thank you, Melissa. And I really like the message of that poem. It reminds me a lot of, the talking about the lobster, the crab that needs to grow out of its shell, that needs to go through the discomfort of shedding the shell so it can actually get bigger and grow a new one.
I don't think I've heard that story. I mean, it makes sense.
Yep. Oh, well, I don't know. I've heard it a lot recently, but yeah, the idea that, discomfort is, you could avoid discomfort and you could stay the same, or you could seek out discomfort and, expand and grow during it.
I think it's a good message to have during this time, too, when a lot of people are experiencing the discomfort, whether or not they're actually seeking it out.
Yeah, I think it found everybody's front door, but a lot of people are expanding and growing during it, so there is a silver lining to everything.
Yeah, definitely.
So we're already at the last poet that we're going to be listening to for part one of the Beat Generation launch, but we have just as many poets that we're going to be listening to in part two next week, which is why we couldn't do all of them at once, because it probably would have gone over the time that we were allowed to actually do the podcast every day. So let's give it up for Mark Wickley.
Hi, this is Mark Wickley, and I will be reading my poem, Gravity Ungrateful. Yes, I am dressed in mourning, dark clothes for a dark time. Yet I yearn to escape pandemic imprisonment with the germ of an idea that will allow me to soar above my confinement in an airborne threat against complacency and boredom as I reach up to a blue heaven that promises social distancing on a cosmic scale. But that old bitch gravity bears down on me, slapping me down like a petulant child, crying out for what she cannot have, slammed back to a blanketed earth of red, white, and blue.
Thank you, Mark. So, now that we're done with the final reader for the evening, that was over 20 readers we just listened to, and thank you, everybody, for being a part of it. But now we have the final raffle winner to call, so let's put that into the randomizer and see who's the last lucky winner of the evening. Okay, coming down there, the names are in, and they're off, and they're spinning around, and it's going, I'm seeing names flashing, I wish I saw numbers flashing, or I wish I actually had live raffle tickets, but I don't, because this is the virtual world, so we're going, here, it's slowing down, coming down to a name, and Sandra Fien, you are the last winner of part one of the Beat Poetry Anthology launch. So if you're listening live, then shoot a message or an email and let us know which of the five possible books you want. And if not, you'll get a message like we promised. So that's pretty much it for part one, everybody. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Nick, for being here and co-hosting with me and offering commentary. Thank you to the over 20 readers that we had so far. Thank you to Debbie Kilday, of course, for making the National Beat Poetry Festival and Foundation happen. and all the work you do every year. Thank you for all the poetry organizers that have been a part of it and the wonderful readers that we have. And thank you to everybody who has sent in and hasn't been read tonight, but that we're going to be having next week. And thank you for so many of you sending in for the fact that we had to split this and do two parts, because that just, you know, shows the excitement, you know, and the enthusiasm that we have for this anthology from all over the place. So next Friday, the same time, 7:30, we're going to be doing part two. It should be about as long as we're also going to draw another three raffle winners. So if you haven't done your pre-orders yet and you want to be a part of that, then go to the page, the pre-order page, and you could still be a part of that. So thank you, everybody. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks. Thanks, everybody who sent in and everybody who's listening. I'm looking forward to part two.
Yes. See you next Friday. Take care, everybody.